All right, Gene, are you ready to be counted in?
Let's go, Gene's.
Ready in Chamesh, Arba, Shalosh, Shtaim.
Yeah! Hey, yeah, yeah. Where my mom's at? Where my mom's wearing thongs, hitting bongs at? Raising kids, cleaning shits, need a long nap. Where my mom's at?
Where my mom's at podcast with Christina P.
Yeah, dogs. Thanks for joining. Got a lot to go over today. Mommies, daddies. First of all, I think we can... I mean, I am still reeling from last week's episode with Susan Pinsky, Dr. Drew's wife. If you haven't seen that or heard that interview, pause this one, go watch that, and come back. Because let me tell you, the thing is, they've been married for a million years, 28 years married, and then they were together for like however many years before. And if you want to know the secret to a long-term happy marriage, and I believe they're happily married because I've known them for a few years now. I've never seen the guy come in like miserable, okay? The secret apparently to a good marriage is fucking like a lot. Like not just like you think you're banging, like these two are banging. Dr. Drew can fuck like he a lot. And I think that it's really important lesson for everybody here. And I really, because he talks about it a lot on Dr. Drew After Dark with me, that it's so important for men to be milked a lot. And they like to be milked in a certain way. And they're entrusting you with that as the spouse to milk them. And they look forward to that. So if you, it's a really interesting interview. And she also talks about when they had young kids that, you know, you're not really that into it, which totally get it. And then once the kids got older, she took testosterone, which really helped her. And then it boosted her sex level. And Dr. Drew is very happy. So check out that interview if you haven't heard it. We're going to have Drew on your mom's house to go over some choice clips that really are going to embarrass him. And that's the fun of
you guys are horny.
It's so horny. Oh, my God.
Call from mom. Answer it. Call silenced.
Instacart knows nothing gets between you and the game. That's why they make ordering from your couch easy. Stock up today and get all your groceries for the week delivered in as fast as 30 minutes without missing a minute of the game.
You have 47 new voicemails.
Download the app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
Okay. Also, I wanted to bring up, I received a book from a family member, not my family member, because nobody in my family would send me a book. I don't think anybody reads, but from my husband, somebody in his family was so nice. They made a book of our everybody in our family because it was somebody's fourth birthday, and it included all the photos of Tom and me and our two children and their children and uncles and aunts, and it, in the form of a story. And it was like so beautiful. And the whole time I was looking at this, I was so moved at how personal and touching this was. And at the same time, I was like, wow, I will never do this for anyone in my life because... Like you know what I mean? I appreciate it when it's done for me. I'm really thankful and I get really emotional, but I don't have the wiring that would initiate that kind of a project. Do you know what I mean, Adolf? Like, I have a feeling you're the same way. Like, you appreciate the gesture, but you would never do that for someone. I don't know why.
Yeah, I think I could relate to that. Like, I think I agree with that.
Or does it make you or would you just be embarrassed by the book? Like, you wouldn't enjoy the book at all?
Well, most of the books that I've gotten as a gift have all been gag gifts because everyone knows I don't read.
Oh, yeah, that's right. You're not a reader.
Not a reader, you know? And so, yep, that's how that goes.
Wow. You told me that you recently discovered fabric softener. How'd that go?
It was a revelation, Christina.
Yeah,
because, like... I never really understood what it was for. And
yeah.
I saw, like, I Googled it. I was like, why do people use fabric softener? Mm-hmm. And then they're like, well, do you mean fabric softener or fabric conditioner? Are those different?
I don't fucking... That's some serious deep white people stuff that I'll never know.
Well, anyways, the first time I've ever used fabric softener on my own load of laundry happened this weekend. And I'm wearing a shirt right now.
Yeah.
And it's I've never worn anything that smelled this good
right.
this long after it's taken out of the laundry.
Right.
I didn't know it could be like this.
I didn't know. Yeah, I agree. I did not even know what that, you know, those dryer sheets?
Like, right. So I was like,
why would you do that? So, I don't wear.
No. So I have those. I've been throwing those in. I don't know what those do, but I know that you throw them in the dryer when you do it.
Good smells. I think it makes good smells. Mm-mm.
Because the thing that, because I've always done that, I've never smelled the good smells. It's the liquid fabric softener that goes into the washer. That's what creates the good smells.
Right. That's like a double special thing.
Oh my God, yeah. Christina. It's, yeah. Because I've smelled this before, and I thought it was just a normal body smell that came off the person that I was smelling. I'm like, man, this person smells like flowers. That's crazy.
I know.
And now I smell like flowers. I'm like, oh my God. I know. I could have been like this for 30 years before this.
I know. And you know what's so messed up? Because I didn't discover fabric softener until I was like 35. And my mess.
35?
Yeah.
Oh, I beat you by 5 years. I love it. Or 4 years. That's great. Oh, I feel good now. Okay,
thank
cool.
God. You're ahead of the curve. But like, I would have these ideas because I would hear of such things like, hey, you can put fabric softener in your laundry and it'll smell nice or your clothes will be softer. And I would literally go, but that's not for me. Like, who spends money on that stuff? Like, that's for, like, rich people. That's for frivolous people.
Absolutely.
Yeah?
Yeah.
And I still feel that way about nice-smelling candles. I'll be like, I'm not spending $20 on a candle. But if you'll buy it for me, I'm like, oh, my God, this is the best thing ever. I love it. I love it.
Yeah. The candles that smell like fresh linens. Ooh.
Yeah. I know. And that's the thing is, like, you get older and you're like, oh, it's not... You should spend money on those things that bring you joy when you can, because that's what life is about, joy. You know?
Right, because I think you and me at a young age were trained that joy does not help you become a good person, right?
Right, well,
You don't build character through joy,
that's
Christina.
True. Or there really was no room for it. There was no time for joy. You know what I mean? It was like... Who's got money for that shit?
Yeah, exactly. Yeah. It's like, if you're comfortable, then you could be doing something better than you're currently doing.
Yeah.
You know? It's and if you're uncomfortable, then you're doing a good job.
Yeah, I know. I don't know if my parents ever really enjoyed a moment. They certainly didn't enjoy... They certainly didn't enjoy parenthood. Like, I think the idea of... enjoying time with your children was completely foreign to me. When I had children, I was like, you're supposed to like this. I really didn't. And I'm not even saying that as a joke. Like, I really didn't understand that people took joy in their children or in their lives. So it's quite a revelation for me now at 44 to lighten up and enjoy stuff. But also, so here's what I've noticed too. Is that, you know, this quarantine, it just goes on and on. And now California, our numbers are just skyrocketing. So we're looking to shut down more things. And now we're being more restrictive. And I was kind of meditating today on the phases of my personal quarantine. And it started with anxious cooking, where I was cooking all day, every day. And then it moved into wigs, right? I was in my wig phase and I was buying wigs on Amazon.
I think these are all very productive phases so far, though.
So far, so good. Yeah. I'm not arguing. No, I'm not judging these phases. I'm just announcing them so that people listening are probably like, I had something similar to her. So I did cooking, I did wigs, and then I got on Etsy. And I don't know if you can notice my yellow flower dazzler I'm wearing. This is an Etsy purchase. This is one of, just a series of wacky necklaces you'll be seeing on this show, because I love Etsy. They're one of a kind. They're unique. It helps some lady. And then I got into 80s sweaters. So this is an actual sweater from the 80s, used disgusting people's clothing. And then I bought those. And then after the wigs... after 80 sweaters, I started to tell my therapist. And then drinking. Sorry. And then I got into drinking. Because I
cool
got it.
Not like a regular mom. I'm a cool mom.
Because I actually, at the beginning of the quarantine, didn't drink. I was white knuckling. I was trying to not let myself sink into that. And then I got a cold sore. And my doctor was like, oh, yeah, have you been drinking? And I was like, no. She's like, you should. Maybe you should just have one or two a week. You'll be fine. And I was like, yeah, maybe my anxiety is go. I hadn't had cold sore in 10 years, you know? And you're like, oh, this is bad. The only time I ever got one is when we were like moving or we, you know, we're working too hard. So
right. Highly stressful situation.
Yeah. It's like shingles or some shit. Like you don't get that unless your body is like your autoimmune system is eating itself basically. So I decided to start drinking and then now I started drinking too much. So now I'm drinking every night. And now I'm in my final phase of quarantine, which is diet and exercise. Now, I've just transferred all that anxious energy into swimming and hiking and stuff. And I hear that's healthy. And it has been really good. But I just want to say, it's good. And here's why I bring this up. Because for the longest time, I thought I was a person who didn't exercise. Like, you know, you label yourself as that thing, like, well, I don't exercise. I'm a fucking piece of shit.
Yep.
Right. I don't use fabric softener. I don't deserve good things. Why should I be fit? That's for somebody else. And for years, too, like, since I was a little girl, I just was never encouraged to, you know, I don't think ever, it was just, I was lazy. I was always, like, skinny but lazy. So I'm becoming this person that, I actually enjoyed swimming the other week. I was in the pool and I was chastising myself because I wasn't doing it perfectly. You know, I was like, oh, your stroke is off right now. And I was like, what am I doing? Can't you just do this for the joy of it? And I mean, look, we define ourselves in terms of who we thought we were in the past. And I'm trying to open my horizons and try to keep growing and expanding, right? Because sometimes, Nadav, you're like, yeah, I'm a wing guy and I like ranch, but maybe I like blue cheese. It's what I'm saying. You may want to try a different flavor.
A different flavor of wings?
Yeah.
I mean, sure. Yeah, I'll fuck with some lemon pepper. But I mean, it's going to be ranch with it, though.
It's going to be ranch. Ranch all
day. Man, blue cheese is just fucking rotten ranch. That's what it is.
It is, right? Isn't blue cheese?
It's rotten ranch.
Because blue cheese are the chunky, moldy crumbles.
Because, mm-hmm. Like, here's what happens when you accidentally get blue cheese when you ordered ranch. You don't notice that it's not ranch until the moldy flavor hits you, like, 3 seconds after. You're like, oh, I don't think this was ranch.
It's not.
And it wasn't. It's blue cheese. Blue cheese sucks. Ranch is better.
Yeah.
I'm sticking by it.
And I've never liked people that were really into blue cheese. Blue cheese people, generally, I've always been like, not my kind.
Now, look, though.
Like, not my type.
Like, there's a time and a place for everything. A wedge salad?
I like a wedge.
That only works with blue cheese, you know? Yeah, like, I get it. There's a time and a place for everything. Wings is not. And I know that that's sacrilege, you know, especially the world that we're in. And Joey, Diaz is like, blue cheese or go fuck your mother. But I still stand strong that ranch is so much better than blue cheese on wings.
Well, yeah, on clearly.
Yeah, and on most
clearly.
Things.
Clearly. But you just blew my mind up because I forgot about a wedge salad.
Yeah.
That's like imperative to have blue cheese.
Yeah, and it's an amazing, it's one of the best salads, I think, in the game.
I know. Now, remember when you were a little kid and you tasted blue cheese, and you were like, this is the most vile shit.
Mm-hmm.
Like, wasn't it the grossest thing you could ever conceive of?
Yeah, my thought was just like, this isn't ranch.
Ugh, yeah, ugh. Mm. I bet Chris loves blue cheese. Chris, are you a blue cheeser?
Nope.
Are you sure?
I never liked it. My dad did, but I always thought it was gross.
Yeah, okay. Tell everybody what you do before bed.
I usually do a crossword.
Shut up,
you.
Really?
Yes.
I know. Don't you love him so much more?
Chris is the most normal person here. He taught me and Zolo the importance of participating in the census the other day.
Oh, yeah. No, that goes right in the trash, right?
Yeah.
I mean, I don't. I do them. I legally do what I'm supposed to do.
Right. Yeah. Me too, yeah. But, you know, there's no legal repercussions for not doing it. But, like I told him, I was like, because people texted me. They were like, hey, what's up? This is Jeff. Nadav, I see that you didn't fill out the census.
So could you get on Jeff?
Could you get on the phone with me and I'll walk you through it? And at that point, I looked at the census papers that I held on to because I was like, I need to fill this out eventually. And I threw them right in the shredder.
Right,
Christina,
in the shredder.
Because some about the way he said it was very condescending. And I'm not going to take that from Jeff.
Jeff. Isn't that the worst, too, when they try and be familiar in those unsolicited texts? Like,
fuck you. Yeah.
Hey, Christina, it's Wendy of, you know, Mike Pence's campaign.
Yeah. I don't know a Wendy.
Yeah. I don't know you. You don't know me, bitch. But anyway, the point being that how wholesome an activity crossword puzzles are. I'm like, and I said to Chris, I'm like, oh, you don't drink every night to fall asleep like me? Because I find that two glasses of a Chardonnay often do that trick too. But no, he was saying how you get into a routine and it's a pattern and da, 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 da. I get it. And
but
it's sweet.
How long, Chris, have you been doing crosswords for? How long has this been a routine?
I mean, at least a year or two.
It's a new routine.
I mean, it's I go through my routine. So crossword is a thing. Before that, I think I did like a word search or whatever.
Did
but
you go through a Sudoku phase?
I love Sudoku.
Not really. That one requires too much thinking.
Oh. Wow.
Fascinating.
You are the sweetest. You're the marrying kind, Chris. You're going to make such a good husband.
I know.
Oh, okay. Well, next we'll find you a lady.
Yeah. The Chris dating show. I'm so down.
He won't let it happen. Chris has something called boundaries, limitations.
Here's the thing, Christina. I thought I had boundaries too.
I know. We're working him down. But you have to give me time. Look, this is the most Chris has spoken in 2 years. Like, this is the beginning. It's taken this long to get him to admit that he does stuff. You don't understand. He's so quiet and he only pipes up at certain occasions. Like, we were eating lunch together yesterday. What is it that you piped up on? You were quiet the whole time. We were all together eating. And there was one topic you felt the need to chime in on. Do you remember, Chris?
Yeah.
What was I talking about?
You said you like to sweat when you sleep. We were like, that's crazy. That's your body telling you you're too hot.
That's where he chose to chime in on. And mind you, here at Studio Jeans, all the conversations are wildly inappropriate. You know how your HR department, somebody gets in trouble for being out of line? Here at Studio Jeans, if you're not out of line, you will be in trouble. Like, we go the different safe space. Anyways, we're talking about crazy shit, and then that's what he chimes in. Okay, let's get to some important business. So, follow up from last week, you got to F your husbands, guys. This is very important. We learned from Susan Pinsky. And I want to show this. This email came in. This is from New Zealand. This is so funny. This person's Peter says, as you clearly were disgusted by the thought of people barefoot walking in public, I thought I would share a pretty common sight from New Zealand. I saw this today in my local Auckland supermarket. Keep in mind, it's very late autumn, almost winter here now. Kiwis run around barefoot all the time, anytime in any season. So if you're just listening, here's a photo of a gentleman fucking barefoot in what looks like just a supermarket, like Trader Joe's actually looks like more. And I mean, okay, hold on. And to top it off, a photo of my dad from back in Germany with his effing pink Crocs. I only call them his pig feet. It brings such shame onto the family. I don't know what to do here. He bought them himself and on purpose. And no, he's not TikToked. Please tell him off for me. Maybe he'll listen then. Okay, so let's go back to the original barefoot. Yeah, I've seen this. So this is funny. When I was in South Africa, we were in, I think, Durban, and I saw this too, that people can walk through malls, you can walk everywhere barefoot. Mm-hmm.
Ew.
And I didn't know in New Zealand that they were doing that, but yeah. And what is perplexing is the winter thing. Like, you're not cold, a-hole. I'm assuming it gets cold there.
Yeah.
It's disgusting. It's unhygienic. It's unhygienic.
Like, it's actually really crazy to me because I was talking to Enny, and I think you had this revelation like recently too, but that you shouldn't have your shoes on in your home.
That's disgusting.
Because, like, I remember I was like, disgusting. I was trying to clean my shoe because I think I'd gotten gum on it, and my hands were all over the bottoms of it, and Enny is looking at me in disgust. He's like, what the fuck are you doing? I'm like, I'm getting the gum off. He's like,
right.
Yeah, but, like, you're touching all the shit that you step on.
I know.
And then it clicked, and I'm like, oh my God, he's right. I should not have shoes on in my home. Right. I mean, I connected those.
But this is essentially, you're just wearing your outdoor shoes on your feet all day long. And
right.
And tracking that crap into your home, it is so gross. And not only that, guys, foot coverings were invented way back when we were chasing animals and running in the forest. It's a necessity. You can step on sticks. You can step on bugs. You can step on glass, gravel. So it's just so disgusting. Now, moving along, I would rather go barefoot than wear these pink Crocs that your dad got in Germany, Peter. I like that they call him pig feet. Yeah, that is fucking revolting. Revolting. If you're not a chef in a kitchen somewhere, you know, chefs can wear this. Anthony Bourdain could have worn those, and you're like, all right, I get it. He's Anthony Bourdain. But just for comfort, and another thing, they're not safe because nails and shit can go in your feet still. It's not very porous. You're sweating. I think they're disgusting.
Well, I'll say that.
Disgusting.
A nail could go through your shoe, too. Mm. I think that's just as much a protection.
But there's not a hole in the front where, like, a nail could literally...
Well, no, here's where I'd make the argument is that, sure, I don't know if it's safer
glass.
Or less safe, but, like, let's say, for example, you're in the bathroom or you're taking out the garbage. Guess what could spill through those holes and straight onto your tootsies? Garbage water, piss, stuff that you encounter in a bathroom. That's where that's gross, I think.
Yeah, and just aesthetically, it's just... My friend sent me a video of the line in front of the Birkenstock store in Santa Monica. And I looked at the line and I go, yep, all unfuckable. Just a line of unfuckables. They were not, you know, oh, here it is. Oh, I gave it to you. Good. Yeah. So here's, Jessica sent this in.
Birkenstock store. I'm not even kidding you. There's a line.
There's a line.
There's a line.
Lit. Unfuckable.
In.
Amish girl. Weird, weird lesbian mom. Let's look at the lineup. Let's try to cut the audio and let's look at the lineup here. Who's standing at the Burke store? So this is a line at the Burke store. Okay, weird foreign guy. Go down.
You're and my dad.
Yeah, yeah. Okay, but hold on, stop, pause. Okay. First of all, I think this is the most unforgivable look in the world. If you're a man and you're not from Eastern Europe or Europe in general, he's got his pants hiked up, pushed up mid-calf. And then that's not enough of the sin. And then he's got white sneaks with no socks, which is so disgusting because you know it smells rancid, just rancid, nasty. It's blue cheese feet. That's what you're getting. Disgusting.
Now, hold on.
Disgusting.
Didn't you just recently
start putting on? It's the gayest thing ever. Look how gay he looks.
Didn't you just recently start wearing socks?
Me?
Uh-huh.
What are you talking about? I've always worn socks.
Didn't I could have sworn maybe you said a story where you're like, oh yeah, I used to not wear socks and then I learned about ankle socks.
No, I used to not wear ankle socks. I didn't know that you could buy hidden socks. So I would look like a nerd alert wearing like high socks with like cool shoes. But this is unforgivable. And I'm not sure why he's pushing up his pants. That looks terrible, right? Unless he's a gay dad.
It kind of looks foreign. I feel like this guy goes on boats a lot.
Yeah.
You know, like
he's
I
European.
Feel like this is a European boat look. I
okay,
think.
The little girl's adorable. Okay, lady here, Karen, unfuckable. Next, someone behind the tree can't see. Go ahead, unfuckable. Look at these two Amish. There's an Amish girl, unfuckable. A lady
Wait,
in a hospital gown,
which
unfuckable.
Which one's Amish?
The girl with the white bag. She looks Amish, and then her
what?
Grandma. She just sprung out of a hospital in her
I do agree
gown.
With that.
Looks
with
terrible.
That
Next, who else is in line? This is the Birkenstock line. Yeah. Nerd alert. Okay, this guy's not getting laid. He's an incel. Next. There she is, Karen. Okay, so far, zero fuckable. I would not sleep with any of these people. Right? Would you have sex with her and a dog? No. Don't lie. Don't fucking lie.
With this woman?
Never.
Mm.
Yeah, you had to hesitate. Okay.
Yeah, I think that's going to be a no for me, dog.
No, it's a pass. She's going to get her Burks, though. Okay. So let's do some other follow-ups. Oh my God, this one's my favorite. I wrote it. I wanted you guys to tell me what's the most annoying thing your spouse does. this one's fucking amazing. Okay. What my mom used to do, and oh, do I hate it. I was a teenager, was not only staring at me while watching TV with a silly mom grin. Oh God, this is so hard to read. But once I finally gave in and looked at her, she would ask me, are you happy? Oh, God. My mom is still really good at asking those deep questions totally out of the blue and out of context of what's happening, which 20 years later, I'm 34 now, still makes it awkward and weird for my sister, me, and my dad. Besides the weird quirks, she is a great mom. I'm really lucky with my parents. Greets from Belgium. Oh, that's why. Yeah, she's European, okay? She's European, and that's what they do. They like to ruin spontaneous moments with deep stuff. That's what we do. We like to take everything and make it heavy. So she took the moment. It's like when you acknowledge what's happening, it destroys it. You know, like you can't name it. You can't name the moment. Otherwise, the moment then disappears. So that's what your mom was doing. She was ruining your joy. That's so gross. Are you happy? Ugh. Hi, Mommy. I was watching the latest episode and the video clip of London and her mom reminded me of something my mom told me. So London was a girl who they visited a resort or something when she was a little girl and the mother let her sleep with a different family for one night. And like, you know, didn't even know these people. And she's like, thanks, Mom. So, okay, my grandma used to take her three kids camping all the time when they were little. She also had a CB radio in her car and let the kids talk to truckers in the area. Hell yeah. When they stopped to use the restroom, she would let her kids ride to the next truck stop with the truckers. We asked her about this and she said, oh, well, I was driving right behind them. They couldn't take them anywhere. This would be in the early 80s. So, I mean, look, well, it's true. You're riding right behind the truck. You don't know what that guy's doing during the ride.
Like, yeah, because taking them somewhere isn't the only bad thing he could do.
I know.
He could, you know, got a knife in your pocket. You could do some real damage to someone in the passenger seat.
Oh, we know it. Everybody's imagining right now what could have happened to that little kid. Gross. Good job, parents.
Mm. Well, I'm just glad that they're alive and well and able to write in about it.
There you go. So, booger walls. I mentioned on a previous episode that I had a friend growing up who kept a booger wall. And what that is basically by her bed, she would pick her nose and then whoosh, wipe it on the wall to create a beautiful collage of boogers. So someone says, oh, Sandy writes, as you guys were mentioning booger walls, it actually reminded me of the fact that my younger cousin, who, by the way, is now 33, also had a booger wall. But to add to the booger wall, he also used to spit into the corner of his room to hopefully fill it up so he could swim in what he thought would be a huge fish tank. He was nasty as fuck. But he's the most intelligent person you could meet now. Maybe he was into something. Well, I will tell you that the girl that did the booger wall, highly intelligent, highly creative, really cool adult. So you never know. And also, the other day, my older son, Ellis, was on all fours, and he had his beehole exposed in the air. And I was like, dude, does he need mental help? Is this okay? And then, no. And then my friend was like, it's fine. My kids do the same thing. So all the weird stuff you're worried about, probably not as weird, because you'll grow out of it, which is what everybody tells you. Don't worry. They grow out of it. Now, Chris did nothing weird growing up. I know that. I was a nose picker. I love to pick my nose. Were you a nose picker in a dove? I bet you were.
Well, no, because I think only in late college I realized that you could even, like, blow your nose. I thought that just, you know.
You just picked it all the time? Or you?
No. I was just like, that's just what my nose is like. I just can't breathe through it sometimes. I didn't realize that I could get that out of there. I was just like, that's just how I'm breathing today,
okay.
I guess. Just,
I bet you had so many gross things. Okay, let's do the follow-up video. Let's see what's on the video.
Oh, that the line at the Birkenstock was the follow-up.
Oh, okay.
But we do have some voicemails.
Let's do some voicemails. Perfect.
All right, so first off, we do have something on the lines of Birkenstocks.
Oh, no. People are going to get mad at me. They always are.
Hi, Christina.
Hi, James.
Noah. I'm living in Portland, Oregon, and I just wanted to call in and let you know that I saw not one, but three different people wearing Birkenstocks in the rain yesterday, two of which were wearing socks. Just thought I would leave that there and see what your thoughts were on that. Thanks. Bye.
So he's from Portland, where it rains constantly.
but people are wearing sandals with socks in the rain.
No, I know. That's what I'm trying to like.
Ugh.
It's so stupid. And if you can only think about the rage that I feel when I get my socks on and I'm out of the shower, I'm getting dressed, and then you accidentally step in a puddle of water with just your socks on. Like, the fucking rage I feel, like God has cursed me and now I have to start over again. It's like a total takeover. It's like after you, it's like you shower and then you have to shit and you're like, oh fuck, now I gotta go back. It's like, should I just go to sleep and start the whole day over? Because the order of things is messed up. And that's how I feel about Birkenstocks and socks. It's a summer shoe. If you're gonna do it in the summer, not the winter. Disgusting. Disgusting. Thank you. We have another follow-up, a voicemail.
Yeah, this is a follow-up on someone's bachelor pad.
Hi, James. You were talking about pathetic bachelor existence in this last episode, and I just wanted to give you my experience with my pathetic ex-bachelor, my fiance. When I met him when he was 24, he lived in a studio apartment, but he didn't have a bathroom in his apartment at all. It was like a shared communal bathroom with everyone in the apartment, and he didn't have a key for the female bathroom, so I constantly had to use the male bathroom on the floor with these scary men who lived in the building, and there was one shower, and I one time was in the shower, and someone banging on the door to telling a man telling me to get out of the shower, that it was his turn to use the shower, and the shock when I stepped out of the shower on this man's face was amazing. I'll never forget it. So don't feel bad about living up a pathetic bachelor existence, Nadav. It's okay. I dragged my man out of that hellhole, and I'm sure you'll find a woman to do the same for you. Bye, Jean.
I mean, where was he living in a halfway house? What kind of thing have you heard of that? That you share one toilet for all these dudes on a floor? Is it a dorm?
I feel like a lot of these types of living situations only happen in either New York City or San Francisco.
Or London.
Right. Like somewhere weird. Where there's just too many people in there and it's just like, you know what? Fuck it. One bathroom for 30 people.
It's like one of those SRO hotels. Will you Google SRO, single resident occupancy? It's when you're really, really, really poor. And you're just renting the room. This may have been what he was doing. SRO hotels. And it's like the most depressed. It's a flop house. Yeah. It's like what, you know, Bukowski would live in an SRO. It's a one room. Yeah. You don't even have a toilet. You have to go down the hall for the toilet. Whew. San Francisco had a lot of these. Yeah. They're really depressing. Oh, my God. It's like the military. I remember when I would do these military gigs. And God damn it, one time I was somewhere so freaking hot, somewhere in the Persian Gulf or something, Qatar. I was in, or they say Qatar. I was in Qatar. And there was really nice air conditioned bunks. They put us in like a huge, it's like a big, you know, dormitory. So you have your little room. I had my own room, side by side, freezing cold. Everything's metal. And the bathroom was so annoying. Yeah, I had to get up and then walk all the way to the other side of the building to go pee. It was so nightmarish. And I pee like 3 times a night. So I get up, put clothes on, go down the hall, piss, come back. You know, it's a whole fucking thing, man. I should have just peed in a cup. Now that I think about it. Yeah, why didn't I just piss in a cup? Well, I live and learn. You know what I mean? Okay. Let's do follow-up. Where my dad's at. Oh, I love hearing from you dads. You guys are my faves.
Yeah. So we have one voicemail.
Okay. Let's do that one first.
Yeah. From a dad giving us a hack.
Huh?
I got a quick mom hack for you. I make juices in the mornings for myself with beets and all that other good nasty shit. And my son, he's fascinated with it. And when I'm done making my juice with all the vegetables in it, I like to make, he likes fruit juice. So I'll take the fruit without cleaning out anything and I'll run it through the juicer. And what he doesn't realize is all the particles and everything else from all the other vegetables and whatnot that I put through the juicer is now in his juice as well. And he loves it. quick little mom hack for you.
Hmm. I like that one. Yeah, our boys, whenever Tom makes smoothies with like his weightlifting powders or whatever, but before he puts the powder in, if the kids see it, they're like, smoothie, smoothie, I want a smoothie. And then we trick them into to drinking veggies and stuff too. But that's a really good trick. Very good. I like that one.
Yeah, it sounds a bit like Susan's trick from last week too. You know, you just blend up some carrots or broccoli and just put it in waffles and
stuff.
That's
what we did. So I started doing that with pancakes, and it's super easy. It's really, really a great way to get them eating stuff. So here's a good hack too. This is a good one. This comes from Tommy. Don't talk about vegetables when you are making supper or planning meals. Just do it. I would chop carrots and broccoli, and my boy would toddle in to see what was going on. I'd hand him a carrot. I'd hand him a spear of broccoli, and he would eat it. That's so true. Like it was a treat from daddy's labor. He's 23 and still loves vegetables. That's so true. I think if I do that to the kids, like if I'm feeding them and I just kind of do it matter of fact, it's kind of like everything in life. If you're not thinking about it too hard, you can get away with it. It's like shoplifting. I don't know if you ever shoplifted, but the key to shoplifting is you do it and you don't make a big deal. Like you're, hey, I'm supposed to have this pen. This is supposed to go in my pocket. Like that's the kind of thinking you need to have when you're stealing shit or feeding your kids. This is what's supposed to happen, and you just go there. Yeah. Oh, where my dad's at. Okay, wife has butthole problems. This is interesting. Hi, mommy. My triple D slut wife of 5 years is awesome, and I love her very much, but she has a bowel issue that requires her to take laxatives every day, which results in her having explosive browns multiple times a day. This will be fine with me, except she refuses to clean the toilets in the house, which means that duty falls on me. Our poor toilets are all ruined due to her messy browns, and I almost throw up every time I have to clean them. If she didn't have such huge milkers, I would probably go off and find a Dalmatian with a normal butthole. But I just had to vent. Well, Brian, you know, I've probably said this before. I've been with the same man for 15 years. And what I found is that, A, we have the same fights for the last 15 years. You fight about the same stuff over and over and over again. You're always leaving the boxer shorts on the floor. Or, you know, why didn't you do this when I asked you to do that? So plan on having the same problems over and over in your relationship. So there's two things you can do. You either work around the issue, which is I'm a firm believer in working around as much as what is unchanged. It's unchangeable is what I'm trying to say. She's likely going to be doing this forever. 5 years, she's been blasting the bowl. Okay. Nothing you can do. So you're going to have to work around it or just fucking ignore it. I always say outsource. Outsource what you can in the relationship to save both your sanity. I've said this before. Tom and I, since we've been together, we have had a housekeeper. And I'm talking broke. I am talking 2008 broke, where Tom and I had $200 to our names. For some way, somehow, we always had a housekeeper, no matter what. Even if it was just once a month to do a deep cleaning of the bowl, of all that stuff. Because we were like, I don't want to do it. I don't want to spend my free time. Highly recommend bringing in a housekeeper. I know with COVID right now, it's kind of tricky. But hey, or you just got to shut up about it. And I know it's disgusting, but I'm sure you do gross shit too. That's the thing in a marriage is really, can I accept how disgusting my spouse is? It's really a threshold of disgusting. I've seen Tom's browns and skids and farts just for so many years. I've just blocked it out. And it gets to a point, too, when you're with somebody for so long that their disgusting thing kind of, it doesn't become your disgusting thing, but it becomes like a part of you. Like Tom's grossness, I co-opt as my grossness. Like if he has, I like to groom him. I like to find acne. I like to pluck long hairs. I like to get in there. And, you know, I'm so used to the smell of his farts and my farts and his browns. And it's like, whose browns are these? Yours or mine? I don't even know anymore. I don't even know where his browns end and my begin. That's how long we've been together. You just, and you know what too, once you have babies, all that stuff kind of goes out the window. At least Tom has seen both of our children blast out of me. And I think once you let down that much guard with somebody, like, there's no going back. He's seen me at my absolute most vulnerable and disgusting, pushing out his children. So there you go. I can't wait to see who you marry, Nadav. Because yeah. Would you say you're very disgusting? I mean, your browns are gross, I'm sure.
Mm-hmm.
And you're farting?
As far as I'm concerned, they don't smell.
Okay.
No, I mean, like, I've pulled some squeakers, you know, some silent ones. No one said anything. And I don't think my friends are polite enough to not mention it to me. They would definitely tell me something. But yeah, here's the thing, though, is that like when I don't think about it, I'm like, I'm not gross. But then you mention one thing and it's like, oh, yeah, right. I am disgusting.
We're all gross.
Yeah.
Like even like I think to not be gross takes so much effort that I'm so unaware. I don't think I could take so much effort for me to constantly be on that high alert.
Yeah.
Of, oh God, was that gross?
Right, but like,
I don't know.
But maybe it's a defense mechanism, but I'm able to use that grossness and make myself laugh with it. Like, yeah. I remember in college, back when I was actually like shaving my face with a razor, that I ran out of aftershave one time. So I just threw Listerine on my face because I knew it had alcohol in it.
Oh my God.
And I was just like, this kind of fucks, you know? Like, yeah. my face smells minty fresh. And then I told someone that, and then they laughed really hard and made me feel bad. And I was like, oh, so you're not supposed to do that.
No.
And then I'm able to laugh, though, you know, because it's like, oh, yeah, I'm the dumbest person I know.
Yeah.
And that's funny.
That's true. And the key to really, to true happiness is to find that person that you're okay being dumb in front of. Like the other day, I printed out, Tom was like, can you print this thing out? We have to sign it. And then I printed it out three times. And then he was like, you fucking printed these three times. Like, it's a joke where we chastise each other for, like, innocent mistakes. I'm so fucking stupid. I'm so stupid. I printed it out three times. That makes me laugh. I like that one. Yeah. Or you can shame each other and it doesn't affect you. Okay. I have some TikToks I brought inside. Firstly, I want to show the skateboarding one. I'm one of those people that growing up in LA, I fucking loved skateboarders. And I never dated a skater boy because all you do is watch them skate. If you're the girlfriend of a skater, you just watch them skate. I think in my heart, I secretly want to be a rad skateboarder. And I love these two boys. I found them on the talk, Dalton Dern and Kanan Dern. And they're brothers, and I think one of them is a professional skateboarder, and the other one makes these videos of him. And they're so fucking rad. Like, okay, please watch this on the YouTube. Go ahead and play this. It's so amazing what these two boys did.
Whoa, so they're just skating through a whole house.
Mm-hmm. It's dope. The bedroom, living room. My favorite is he goes to the kitchen and there's someone there. What? Yeah, now he's outside in the backyard, in another house, living room. Here's the kitchen, there's mom. So man, rad.
So at what age are you going to pressure Ellis and Juju to be able to do this in your house?
I'm on this shit. Look how rad that is.
Yeah.
Dude. That's rad. So they're on the gram at Dalton Dern and at Kanan Dern. And I love the recklessness. I love that kind of shit. I really hope I would love if my boys got together and did stuff like that. I just thought it was super fucking cool. I wish I could skateboard like that. Okay, let's do the wiping jar. I saw this on the talk and thought I would share this with you parents out there because this one blew my mind, bro. Okay. So basically this woman is talking and she's like, a lot of people be surprised to know that I do this. So she's taking like the jelly jar that we all have and most of us have nasty crusted over lids and crusty and goopy jelly jars. This broad, all she's doing is taking a cloth and wiping the lip of the jar clean. And then she's here, play it. And then she's doing.
It's so simple, but yet people find this fascinating when they come into my house. And they also think that I am a sociopath, that I take the time to do this one.
But it's not that crazy. Like,
here's the thing. I think it is.
Why?
It's, you don't. No one ever wants to see the bottom of a jelly jar, I think.
The bottom? You have to.
No. You wait until you haven't used it in a while and the jelly makes it impossible to open.
And then you know it's time.
That's the end of the jelly jar.
That's so true.
Yeah.
That's when you know.
Yeah. That's when it's time to get a new one. If you see the bottom of it, you have no way of knowing how long it's been there for.
I know. But this one, like, look how inspiring that is. How clean that is.
What about this is inspiring to you?
It feels good to watch her clean the jelly jar.
Okay, here's the thing. I agree with you that it feels good to watch her clean it.
Oh, look how
good
that is.
Would it feel good if I had clean jelly jars? I don't think so.
Chris, I bet your jelly jars are spotless. Immaculate jelly jars.
I don't really eat jelly, so.
Doesn't eat jelly. Would you eat the low sugar kind?
I mean, sure. I did have peanut butter and jelly like a month or two ago, though.
Mm-hmm.
But that's the last time I had peanut butter and jelly.
All right. Well, I would have pegged you as a jelly guy. I was blown away by this. Fuck you two. Both of you. Because I would never, ever think to just do something so simple, to wipe down a jar, and it would bring me so much peace.
So are you doing that now?
No. 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 And that's the thing, is that I can appreciate when other people do nice things. I don't do any of these things. I don't know, and I don't know why. Because I know it would bring me joy, but I'm like, I don't deserve it. I don't deserve the clean jar. I can't be that person, right? Who am I to wipe a jar? That's for uppity blonde ladies. I'm not an uppity blonde, right?
Oh, that makes me laugh.
No sense. No sense. Can I tell you what I feel like? I feel like I would be a failure to my heritage, like, as a hardcore Eastern blocker. Like, to me, this is what, like, white Americans do. Like, white ladies do that shit. I'm not, like,
wiping jelly jars?
Yeah. Like, yeah. It's so American and wholesome. I'm like, I'm not that person, though. Like, my family would fucking laugh at me so hard.
Yeah, because, I mean, here's the thing, is that I look at this.
It's weakness.
And I am like, I didn't realize this was a problem worth solving.
Yeah.
You know? Like, I didn't think this was ruining anything. It seems like, man, imagine if she applied that, I don't know, I don't want to say curing cancer, but something close to, like, there's a different problem that's probably better to solve.
See, you're finding this to be a useless thing. That's,
yeah.
I actually find this to be deeply satisfying and useful, in that if I did that, it would probably feel really good to me to see that in my own fridge.
That you would eventually be eating old jelly that you can't tell is old because, well, you could still take the lid off?
No. I mean, you just kind of, we go through a lot in our house.
Oh, okay.
It's not a problem, but I don't know. That would bring me such peace and joy. And I'm like, I know it would. I'm just not going to do it. I'm still not going to do it. Who am I resisting? I don't know. I got to talk to my shrink about this. Okay, so here's another talk that I found, and I tell you, you know, I've been I've been annoyed by the fashion industry for a minute, because lately there's been a movement, I mean, in all of society, for inclusion and diversity, which is an inherent good. I don't agree with that, but I do think that the fashion industry is an industry, meaning its job is to attract eyeballs and sell things, and it's a fantasy world. It's a business like any other. And so there's this really pretty, she's actually quite beautiful, model on Instagram. And the only thing that's different and unique about her is her ridiculous eyebrows. And the thing is that she's extremely traditionally beautiful, like objectively gorgeous. So the eyebrows, it's like her way of sticking it to the man, or her way of being diverse. You know, it's like, it's kind of a bullshit It's like me shaving my head at 14 and being like, why are you looking at me funny? Yeah, like, I'm just wearing a dog collar. God, Mom. And it feels like a little childish. So she's on the gram and she's always like, what? Why can't everybody handle my brows? And then there was
Did you just pluralize that?
Why can't anyone handle my brows? Yeah, well,
I just see one. Then.
One, there's one, yeah. Mm-hmm. And then she's like, I want you to know me better. In one other talk, she's like, I want you guys to know me better. So go ahead and ask me whatever you want to ask me and I'll just answer it. And it's like, what, are you really that interesting that that people are just aching to know more about your internal life? Like, you're very beautiful. I see that. And you've just chosen these wacky eyebrows that it's an easy remedy. You know, you can go get them tweezed. But I like that she's lumping herself in with an inclusion movement, right? Like, I think it was Calvin Klein had a black trans plus sized activist model in Times Square. It was an ad. And I was like, well, that's a marginalized person. Now that is an inclusive moment. Like, wow, that's really unique. She's really interesting to look at. She's selling Calvin Klein. Awesome. Okay, but so play this talk. My fucking brain explodes because I'm like, is this generation completely bereft of any fucking reason? Is there any logic? Not everybody, but just this kind of argument makes me nuts. Play this.
I think now the industry is taking a bit of a turn where they think it's trendy to, like, you know, include different people. It shouldn't be trendy. Including people who are different shouldn't be a thing because people are telling you to do it. You should be doing it because you...
Keep going.
No, that's where it ends.
Oh, she says, okay, so her argument is like, fashion shouldn't be trendy. First of all, by definition, fashion is trendy. That's what fashion is. Changes. And secondly, you know, and what really makes my asshole pucker is telling people why they should do something else. She's like, you should have models just because you want them to be diverse. You should. And I'm like, you know what you should do? Get your fucking eyebrows fixed, all right? Go fucking do that. You should do that. How about that? Don't fucking tell me what I should and shouldn't be doing. That makes me nutty when they're prescribing to you how you should be thinking and acting. Don't tell me how to do that. Anyway, she's traditionally pretty, so she doesn't count as a marginalized person. I don't think she counts.
Right, because if you could shave off the thing that makes you marginalized, then you're not marginalized, right?
Yeah. Big difference between her and the black trans plus-sized activist model. Like, sweetie. You're a white blonde girl with some stupid eyebrows. Okay.
And here's also
makes me nutty.
There was something super funny about that video is that the person that was recording her was like saying like, right. You're right.
Oh, but, she had to egg her on.
But also, so like, so she has her brows are like some darkies, right? Like, she got some dark eyebrows,
sure.
But she's got blonde hair.
Yeah.
So that, I mean, one of those isn't natural, right?
Well, she's bleaching, which is what I do too, because my eyebrows are dark too.
But that makes sense. So she's just making a statement because she will put work into bleaching her hair, but she's not going to put work into shaving her unibrow.
Right.
That's a good point. Which is wild. That's crazy.
That's a good point. Yeah. Like, she's one of these people that's going out of her way to be diverse. Like, okay. And you guys, and I love when people are like, you should want to have this, the business. Like, no, fashion just wants to make money like every other business. They don't have to do anything you want. They should. You should. Fuck you. Makes me crazy. Don't tell. You should never tell. Don't should anybody into anything. How about that? If you don't like it, leave it. You don't have to should me. Okay, let's go to, we did those hacks.
Oh, we got a general question.
Let's do a general.
That you marked. I think it's one of the emails on the desk.
I did. Anything good? Okay. I'm 38 years old and 28 weeks pregnant with my first, due in mid-September. Listening to you, Leanne, and Ela, I haven't heard anything nice about those first few weeks of a baby's life. The dark forest, as it has lovingly been referred to. Don't get me wrong. I appreciate y'all's honesty so the rest of us aren't blindsided by these challenges, but I'm now more scared about these weeks than I am about giving birth. Oh, okay, shit. Can you provide us scared moms to be with tips for surviving the dark forest when you're walking around in an adult diaper 24/7 and you haven't slept in a week? Or any practical tips for how to not hate your husband, what sleeping arrangement is best for sleep, and how to stop and appreciate this time? Lots of love, Kelly. So first of all, Kelly, not everybody doesn't appreciate that first month. It really is for psychos like Leanne, Gila, and myself. You have to understand too, like I present just a counter argument that I never saw in popular culture. That's why I talked about that. So the majority, whatever is presented in mass media is that it is a wonderful time, and it actually is. It is. Listen, it is all very new and very special. It's very sweet. Yes, the physical pain and yes, the pain of change is there. But it's you're going to be so in love with your baby that you're going to overlook all of that and then maybe get amnesia later and have a second one. But obviously it wasn't all bad because I went back for seconds is what I'm trying to say. But the specialness of their tininess, their vulnerability in that first month is, I think what I'm trying to say is the ambivalence, the ability to hold two opposing feelings at once is difficult for me. Maybe not for you. Maybe not for a lot of women. The ability to be simultaneously terrified of taking care of this life and cherishing this new life and being really enamored of it. You're going to fall in love with this kid. So it's good and it's bad. And then just for me, it was harder for than most. But let me ask you this. So walking around adult diaper. Okay. Practical tips for how not. Okay. Dark for when you walk around adult diaper. Okay. How do you not hate your husband? That's a hard one. Because you've got hormones playing a huge role. You know, there's almost nothing you can do except be direct. I found that telling my husband in advance, hey, look, man, everything that's inside of me is going to come out of me in a few pushes, like everything. And everything drops out the bottom. Warn him. Hey, I don't know how I'm going to react. You may have to check in on me more. You may have to be more tolerant of me. Just apologize in advance. That's what I did I remember before I started taking hormones for IVF with Juju, I literally said to my husband before I put an estrogen patch on, I said, I'll see you in a year because I'm about to lose my mind. And we kissed and I was like, just forgive me in advance. You're going to fucking hate me and I'm going to hate you. Sleeping arrangements is best for sleep in the beginning, the first month. Yeah, I advise, this is what I did with my kids and it worked nicely, was having a bassinet right next to your bed. You're going to be maybe a little nervous about the kid. Is the kid sleeping? Is the kid breathing? So that way you've got the bassinet right next to you. There's some beautiful bassinets that come right up to the edge of the bed there and you can just breastfeed that way, or if you don't breastfeed, whatever, it's there. And then your husband sleeps next to you so you can both enjoy the thrills of not sleeping that first month. I kind of recommend it because that'll lessen the anger you feel, the resentment when you're just the only one waking up. You can take turns getting up to deal with the baby if you do formula. Tom and I split duties in the very beginning with Ellis. I don't recommend that one. Maybe you take shifts, 4 hours on, 4 hours off. I recommend getting as much help as possible. I recommend a mother, if you have one, a great, if you like her and you guys get along, bring her, bring a grandmother, bring a sister, bring a nanny, bring a housekeeper, have meals delivered, have meals brought to you. Just ask for as much help as you possibly can in all senses. Don't do shit that first month. You're not returning emails. You don't take visitors unless you really, really want them. Just focus on being tired and focus on you and the baby, and then you'll get through it, and then before you know it, you'll be out of that forest in no time. All right, good luck. It's not all bad, obviously. It does get better. Just know that if you do feel sad, you may not. You might really dig it. So listen, there are women like Mitzi. We had Mitzi the doula, who loves that the newborn phase. Loves it so much that she's devoted her life to caring for newborns. So there you go. Let's do, I want to do What Would Christina P. Do? Oh, this is interesting.
You got mom questions? CP's got mom answers. What would Christina P. do?
Okay, this is from Lauren. To make a long story short, she basically had a rough first kid that cried for the first 6 months. And it literally just almost killed the husband. She's got bad postpartum depression, PTSD from it all. I know. She says, I noticed on where my mom's at, everyone says you need to have another child to give your child a sibling or else you are basically a shitty parent. What are your real thoughts on the situation? I love you and your humor. Thank you, Lauren. Okay, you don't need to do it. I think there are situations in which being an only child was really, really great for me. Now, had I had normal fucking parents, it would have been great. You get double the Christmas presents. You get a great education because your parents can afford it. You're given the coolest shit. Again, my life as an only child was miserable because my mom was crazy and my dad was crazy. All right. So if I had normal parents, would have been great. I've got a few friends that have onlys and they're going to stop at onlys. And the kid is totally happy, totally adjusted, totally normal. For me, it was important, I think, for Leanne, because we both grew up with wacky moms and as only children, we were very lonely and sad because our parents were nuts, not because being an only child is somehow inherently bad. So I just want to make that distinction. And I probably don't always make that distinction. So there you go, Lauren. And hey, listen, I know there's pressure. Society wants you to pump out another one. Don't do it. If you don't have the mental and the physical or the financial resources, do not do it. There's no reason to stress yourself out. You're enjoying your one kid. Keep enjoying them. Okay. How to start therapy. I've been tuning into your podcast for some time now and I want to be a mother in the sometime future. I'm in a relatively new relationship, but I come from a dysfunctional family and my father is an ex-alcoholic like yours. You mentioned seeking therapy and I had a mini breakdown last night and cried in the bathroom when my father came over to my house and realized, hey, normal people don't react like that. And I started searching up therapists of my area. I haven't made the phone call yet, and I'm on the fence about how to seek for help and how to deal with these issues so I don't spread them to my children in the future. How'd you start your process in therapy and finally seek the help you needed? Thanks, Daniela. Okay, Daniela, it's not normal to cry every time you see your folks. I had the same reaction before I got into therapy, actually. The last time I was talking to my mom and she was fucking stressing me out. She said, I had the stroke. That's the time she fell down at Lamps R Us and it wasn't a fucking stroke. And I hung up the phone and I just started shaking and crying and having like a very visceral reaction. And so what I did was I asked a friend, ask around, ask your friends. Hey, are you in therapy? Who do you recommend? Who do you see? And most of the time that therapist can't treat you and the friend if you're close because it's a conflict, but that therapist can recommend you or refer you to somebody who can. And then it's a dating game. You're going to meet that person. You're going to sense if it's a good match. And what does that mean? It means you feel comfortable confiding in them. It means that I'll tell you one therapist I saw, the guy was dressed like a space alien. He had on fucking Velcro shoes and light denim jorts. And he looked like fat fucking Santa. And I was like, no. You don't even know what's up in the world. You look like a psycho. How are you going to tell me how to live my life when you're dressed like a fucking stupid Santa? So that sounds like a small thing, but it's a big deal because I was like, I don't want to talk to you. And one time he goes, okay, Christina, I want you to put your hand on your heart and close your eyes and pretend I'm your mom. And I want you to act out. And I was like, is this acting class? Like, is this the Stanislavski fucking therapy? I don't want it. I'm a performer in my real life. I don't come to therapy to perform. So his style was not compatible. So then I interviewed another one. I started with another one. And then I didn't like her for whatever reason. Then I went to another one. And then on the third try, I found the woman who I'd been with for a decade. So it really is trial and error. You try, you talk a few times, you realize, I don't really like them. I don't feel like I trust them. You should cry a lot on your first session with a shrink if they're any good. That's what I think. So good luck. Good job. Get into therapy. Always, always go. I don't know how people don't see therapists, even fucking normal ones. Okay. Well, I don't want to do that one. That's gross. Oh, okay. No, I don't want to do sloppers. Okay, here's a good one. My name is Ashley. I'm 23 and have been with my boyfriend for about 8 to 9 years and should be soon getting engaged. Good. Per my passive aggressive encouragement. Awesome. Good girl. We're moving to a different state with my job offer. Here's the deal, too. I really hate, no one told me this, and I wish someone had, an elder, if you will, that, you know, all these fucking Instagram posts and these people that are like, and then he just proposed. Like, what they don't show you is that the woman wears the man down and starts asking for this shit and starts making a little bit of a demand. You got to kind of plant those seeds. Hey, I think I'm ready to get married. You got to let them know you're interested in that tract of things. So the woman does have to manipulate a little bit. That's just how it goes. She writes, I feel a big time pressure to have children as early as possible, which in my mind is like 28, so that our loved ones that we're close to have a substantial amount of time with our children while they're alive. I want to live and travel and do all the things without little crutch demons, but it feels like there's not enough time. I feel like a TikTok for planning this way, and I know it's myself placing that pressure, but these people are important to me and I want them to be in our kids' lives too. My mom isn't married and I almost feel I owe her this amazing relationship with her grandkids as the only child. Oh, okay. Have any other mommies worked through this or do you have any advice? Okay, Ashley, first of all, you're not responsible for your mom's happiness and relationships. So don't, you know, to that end, if you're feeling the pressure to entertain your mom, a lot, because you may fail. You might have, this has happened to some friends, is sometimes they have the kid and they want it to affect their parents a certain way and it doesn't, and now you're even more disappointed. I was told, people are like, you know, you might be surprised, your dad might really come around and start to enjoy those kids. So far I'm not sure he knows I have a second child, but any day now it's gonna change. He's gonna get better, I know it. So I mean, there you go. So don't do it for other people, and if you're 23 now, you have 5 years. That's a long fucking time. I don't think it's crazy to plan when you want your children. I think it's a fantastic idea. So see, you've got 28 as a date, so fucking save your money, and after this whole global pandemic is over, start traveling. Nadav is saying he doesn't think you should have kids. Why?
Well, because it seems like the main reason to have the kids are so that her mom could be happy or her parents could be happy.
Right.
Which is the worst reason to do a life-changing decision.
It is, because the motivation is for an other.
Right.
Yeah, that's what I'm saying.
Yeah, I completely agree with you in that. Like, it's because, like, even in the email she's addressing, she's like, I know that having these babies means that the fun is over. And I think you're right.
Yeah.
So if you know that it's fun, but that you also want to please, it's just, I'm not saying having kids is a bad idea, but having a kid to make your parents happy is.
Yeah. And I think 23. So first of all, let's all think back to being 23. That's still the age where you're looking for your parents' approval. And you often do things out of like, gosh, this will really please them. You know, maybe I'll become a doctor, a lawyer, an accountant, whatever, to please mommy and daddy. So she's still young and you're still in that thinking of pleasing mom and dad. But yeah, you've got plenty of time, girl. You're so young. I don't know, you live in Tampa, okay? So yeah, people have kids young there. 28, see how you feel at 28. Don't rush. It doesn't say that you're being pressured, but you're smart to plan. Why not plan?
Right, like put some eggs on some ice or something if you want.
I always advocate that if you want to know exactly where you are in your fertility. Science is pretty great right now. You can get your levels tested, your FSH, your fucking, I don't know, your BBQs, your whatever. And they can look at your eggs. They can look at the quality of your eggs to give you a better idea so you don't feel rushed. And that's at a fertility clinic. You can make an appointment and just get checked out. Now, I don't think most people's insurance doesn't cover it, but I'd say it's worth the investment so that you can put yourself at ease. 23 is so young. But then again, sometimes age is irrelevant with fertility. I know infertile 23-year-olds, so doesn't have shit to do with fuck, as they like to say. What's that meme that's on the... I don't know shit about fuck. That's that girl from Ozark, that blonde girl, Ruthie.
Oh, there's God, she's a great character.
God, she's so amazing.
She's one of the best things about that show.
I know. I it got too stressful for me.
Yeah, I know. It's a very stressful show.
I know.
Wait, so you haven't finished it?
No. I look at Tom and I'm like, tell me how it was.
Wait, you watch Tom watching it?
Yeah. I'll sleep. I'll like kind of sleep and then I'll like hear bits and pieces. I'm like, I get what's going on. Shit's bad right now. And then I, you know, osmosis.
Yeah, it's okay. A wild show. Highly recommend.
Highly recommend. Hold on. Okay, I always get this question. I love this question. This is Kenna from the Rockies. She's not a parent yet, but how did you and Tom decide you guys were ready to try for a baby? My husband and I are in our 20s and both really want to start ASAP, but I'm terrified of being underprepared and not thinking through everything, so we keep delaying. Okay, what advice would you give to those preparing to take the plunge into parenthood? What do you wish you would have known? Okay, so there's two ways you can, this is how I see it. I started later because I wanted to be mentally well. I wanted to be financially stable. So yeah, those are the two reasons. I wanted money and I wanted to be not crazy. So I really put shit off until like the 11th hour. I got in right under the wire. So the good parts of that is that, yeah, I'm a little more sane and we have more money. The bad part is I'm 44 and I have a 2-year-old and a 4-year-old and nature is a beast because I'm tired. Like it takes a lot of energy to chase youngins around. And I kind of wish I had known that personally. You don't think you're going to be in your 40s when you have kids. You're like, what? I'll be in my 30s forever. But it's a lot of energy. It's a lot of work. And I do, now that I'm older, I'm like, ooh. Okay, but here's what you should think about. I always say to people are like, first of all, don't listen to these lazy cocksuckers who are like, you know, when is a good time to have a baby? I don't know, just whatever, go for it. These people are losers. These people are liars. And these people don't know what they're talking about. And they got pregnant on accident and now they're trying to justify it. So here's when you know you should have a kid. You have a great relationship. You've been together long enough to know each other, I would say, through at least 4 seasons, right? Four years of 4 seasons. So you've been together 4 years. You've seen that person through a lot of bullshit and you're still together. How are your finances? How much debt do both of you have? Big deal. I suggest wedlock. I'm old fashioned that way. I believe that when you're married to somebody, your family, you become family. And you're a lot less likely to fuck around and you're more likely to stick around and raise your youngins and that stuff. Your relationship's solid. You've got money in the bank. You've got some savings so that when the shit hits the fan, like it has in this pandemic and you've got a kid, you're not totally panicked and screwed. And as a woman, I would suggest if it's important to you to establish your career enough such that you can take some time to be a good mom in those early, early years, because you don't get those years back. And yeah, that's it. That's all I got for you. There is a great time to have kids when you got money and you're stable and you're in a good relationship and you're in a good place mentally, physically. And there you go. Don't listen to these people that say, when is a good time? Fucking losers. All right. Mom, what are we doing? We're going to close on. Do we have anything else? Are we done?
No, I mean, we have some more stuff, but we've been going for a minute.
Let's go. Let's close on a mom hack. I like those because they're so useful. I love useful.
Mom hack, you say?
A mom hack. Mom hacks. Okay, this one's fantastic. I got from Natalie. Since parks are all closed and it's hard to get out because of the pandemic, I got my 14-month-old a Pickler triangle. It's so amazing. So here's what that is, a Pickler triangle. It's like a triangle with bars on it and the kid can climb up it and there's like a little rock wall for Bibbis. It's so amazing. We use it throughout the day and she's gotten so good at climbing and sliding down the ramp. It helps with body awareness, increasing self-esteem, and most importantly, tire them out. Amen. It's also foldable, which makes it super nice for storage. This is awesome. I wish I would have gotten this. And it looks like it's low enough to the ground that if the kiddo does fall, it's like not a big deal. Also, I got a sprinkler on advice from someone that wrote in. Kids love the sprinkler, another Amazon purchase. I've been getting water balloons, regular balloons, and then bubbles. That's all you fucking need. Kids go nuts. Voicemail, Mom Hack? Should we do that one? Do we do that one?
No. Whoops. Sorry, I mislabeled that. No, no voicemail.
Oh, my fucking God.
No, because we had that dad hack that's now part of the Where My Dad's At segment.
Oh, okay. Gotcha. All right. Well, if you have any more, please email them in wheremymomsat@gmail.com. I love your mom hacks. I love your mom fails. We'll do more of those next week. What would Christina P. do?
Oh, yeah. Didn't we want to tell... like, or ask the moms to send in stuff. Well, when you first moved in with your significant other, what crazy habits did you discover?
Yeah, let's do that. So when you first got with somebody, what was the disgusting shit you found out about them? That's pretty funny. Like, what was their habits that were hard to get used to? And if they are, what was their bachelor status? So gross.
Yeah, so you could email that to wheremymomsat@gmail.com or leave a voicemail at 213-375-5184.
Oh, and also, I would like to hear how you're manipulating your spouses. I love that. How do you get them to do stuff that you want them to do? Let me know about that too. All right. This is a great episode. Thank you so much. Thank you guys in the booth as always for joining. And until next time, stay cool, moms. Bye.
Where my mom's, where my mom's, where my mom's at? Where my mom's wearing thongs, hitting bongs at? Raising kids, cleaning shits, need a long nap. Where my mom's, where my mom's, where my mom's at?
Where my mom's at podcast with Christina P.